Thank you, everybody else who's read. It's helped us open the meeting. I take this opportunity to welcome those that have joined us since we first started. A huge welcome to any visitors, and an even bigger welcome to any newcomers that might be in our room this evening. And we hope you hear something that's going to help you to keep coming back. So we are a speaker meeting, and it does fall on me this evening to introduce our speaker. And this gives me an enormous amount of pleasure. And it just struck me that we don't often get an opportunity to have back-to-back home group members sharing in our meeting, and this week that is the case. This individual walked into our meeting a few years ago. We had a conversation, I threw in the keys, and his presence in Hignor has been transformative over the last few years, and I for one am incredibly grateful to have this person in my life. He's kind of the brother I never had and always wanted, and become an important part of my recovery, and I love him to bits. And he just celebrated a pretty significant milestone in his recovery. So I'm going to invite our speaker to share for us for 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with tonight. And Jay, floor is yours. Please share with us, my friend.
Hey, Jay.
I'm an My name is
Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Thank you, Steve. That's really intro that I didn't expect. It's been an interesting couple of days since I've gotten down to Costa Rica. I'm not sitting where I normally sit, and I'm not doing the things that I normally do these days. And I'm definitely not getting up at the same times that I normally get up. I'm getting up earlier because I'm an hour behind. We're told when we come into these rooms that we learn to share our experience, strength, and hope. That we, when we share our stories, we share a little bit about what it was like. We share how we got here, and we share what's going on now. And I'm going to do this just a little differently, because we all know what it is to use. And I used as much as I could, as often as I could, whenever I could in my active addiction. The craziness that I was involved in was just that, craziness. The insanity of my disease, even though I didn't think I was insane, looking back on it. Well, I didn't think I was insane, even though I wound up in a psychiatric institute for 9 months in my active addiction. But that was just some place to go hang out. My disease brought me to places I never wanted to go, but always wanted to go. And I'm very fortunate that I wound up in the treatment center. I wound up when I wound up there, because I don't know if I would have been here today if things didn't happen the way they happened. I was given an ultimatum to get my life together, and it was all about the drugs. I decided I would do this not to get clean, but to fix the situations that were happening at the time, to get my parents off my back, because that's who gave me the ultimatum, to be able to go out. Once I fixed the situation, I was going to go out and do what I always done, which was used. And I wound up in this treatment center. My mother sat through the intake. I lied because I told my parents I had stopped using a week before I wound up in that treatment center. It was a couple of months process to get there, but when they called, after I called them, they said it would be a month. And it was about 7 to 10 days And they said, be here tomorrow. Like I said, I lied on my intake. After my mother left, because she's the one that drove me down, and I did enough drugs to get to where I needed to go to not get sick. It wasn't about getting high anymore. It'd been a long time since I got high. My drug use was about getting normal, about being able to function. And I had to do drugs to function. If I wasn't high, I didn't do anything. So in this treatment center, when I told them the truth, they looked at me and they waited. And as I started to get sick, then they said, okay, we will do this. And they detoxed me. And that took a couple of weeks. And I did what I had to do. They told me to go to meetings. They told me to go to groups. They also said when I went to meetings, if you are asked to share, tell them you can't because you're still detoxing. And they also said they probably will not ask you to share because they know who our people are and what they're doing. Because this meeting was downstairs in the psychiatric hospital that I was in for the second time. And they didn't ask me to share. And I met my first sponsor for the first time at that first meeting. And he had graduated from the institution that I was in. See, I was one of two addicts of 18 people in that treatment center at that time. I wound up there middle of December, just before Christmas, which was middle of December, 1980, 6 weeks before my 21st birthday. And had no intention of staying clean. Had no intention of being there more than 30 days. I was on vacation. I was not going to use. And I was going to go back out and use when I got out because I would have fixed everything at that point because that's what I thought. Something happened. And I didn't stay there 30 days. I stayed there 60. And that 60 days... See, I'm a little slow. It was a 30-day program, and it took me 60 days to get through it. But at that time, like I said, I met my sponsor. I started to see that people had smiles on their face. I hadn't seen anybody with a real smile on their face that I hung out with in years. And they were telling me that they were clean or not using. And that they were things were getting better. And for the first time in a long time, I decided to try to do it somebody else's way. They told me not to go home, back to the last place I used. They said, go to a halfway house. And I listened. I didn't go home. I went to the halfway house. I lasted 30 days in the halfway house. I was probably a little cocky, arrogant, because I was going to meetings. I was clean. And I was going to a lot of meetings, at least what I considered a lot of meetings. I was going to 3 to 4 meetings a week. And they threw me out of this halfway house at 11 o'clock at night. And I left, and I was going back home. And I look back on my recovery, and I can see lots of times that something interceded in my recovery. That if I had gone home, I probably would have used, I can almost guarantee I would have used, because I had roughly 90 days. And if I had made it back to where I live, my guess I would have used. When I stopped at my sponsor's house, because I was going to stop and tell him, I'll see you. Thank you very much. It's been great. I'll call you sometime, and good luck with life. He looked at me and said, "You're not going anyplace. You're staying on the couch until we find you a place to live." And I did not go home, and I did find me a place to live, and I did things that I needed to do to be clean. And what I found a place in a campground with people that got my next door neighbor was in the program. And my sponsor moved in next to me. There was three of us. We hung out. We talked about recovery. We did the things that we had to do. And I know that I don't know what I was looking for when I think about it, but it was pretty easy. I didn't have to work. I was all about recovery at that point. It was my first year. I worked steps. I did things, and did what I had to do. And what I know for me is that I liked where I was going. I liked how I was feeling in my early recovery. And I was involved as much as possible in the program. I hadn't hit my first NA meeting yet. I didn't find my first NA meeting till I had a year clean. I came down to Florida and did what I had to do. I was going to meetings, and I went and picked up a chip, and I went. And at one of the meetings, somebody said to me, "There's a meeting down the street for addicts." Well, they didn't say that. They said, "There's a meeting down the street for drug addicts. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Yes, I want to go," because I had never heard of a meeting for drug addicts. And I went to that meeting, and I found the literature that was on the table, and it was a white book and four or five pamphlets, and it was like, okay. I read that white book, and I knew I was home, because for the first time in my recovery, since I had gotten clean, I didn't have to substitute words. I didn't have to do anything. The words were jumping off the page on that book. And it was like, wow. And circumstances had it, I was moving back down there because I got clean in Vermont, 1,300 miles away. And I decided to move home because Florida is home. And I did. I moved home. 6 weeks later, I'm down in Florida. We're starting meetings. We're starting. The fellowship was young. The fellowship was real young. 90% of the people that were I was in was in the fellowship were my age. That we were in our 20s. We did all kinds of crazy things. We went to concerts together. We started meetings. There wasn't an area. There wasn't a region. There wasn't anything. We just were living life. in each other's pocket. The basic text wasn't out yet. And what happened is what we got in the mail, the gray book, the input, review and input basic text. And I read that book and I copied that book. And I still have that book today. And I know that that book allowed me to make a decision that I didn't need to go anyplace else, because I had been going to 10A and another fellowship. I got claiming another fellowship. And you know what? I never fit in that fellowship. I am very happy that it was there, but I never fit. And I made a decision that I would stay, that I was going to not go anyplace else. And I did that right after my second anniversary. And I've never been back. I've never been anyplace else since I made that decision. My recovery hasn't always been easy. And the reason it hasn't always been easy is I made it difficult sometimes. I'm my own worst enemy. I mean, I will screw myself into the wall, and I don't know if that's the disease or if that's me, but I will complicate the hell out of anything. We are told certain things when we get here, like go to meetings on a regular basis, like work the steps, like get a sponsor, get involved in service. And for most of my recovery, I've done that. I mean, like I said, when I found that text, I made that decision. I stopped going anyplace else. I got involved in service. I was already involved in service at the group level, but I got involved in service at an area level. I got involved in service at a regional level. I got involved in service at a world level. I did all kinds of service. Life was Narcotics Anonymous and my job. That's what I mean. It was going to meetings, doing service, doing this. And it was like, okay. And that was life. And I was real all right with that. I was young. I didn't have anything else to do. I was working and I was going to meetings. And my first sponsor passed. He died from this disease. I used him until I had about 2 years clean, and then I found out he died. And it was like, you never know where you're going to get the message. And I listen to people in the rooms, because you never know where you're going to get it. You never know what you're going to hear. And I look back on my recovery and I see that throughout my recovery, the things that stick out. And I go back to and are crucial to my recovery. I got another sponsor. That sponsor I've had or had for, I got him a little old, just under 3 years clean, and I had him for 35, almost 36 years. He was my sponsor. And he passed. And he was, my two sponsors were both instrumental. When we talk about this program, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel, I always think about sponsorship, and I think about the relationships that we have with people in these rooms, that they know more about me than my blood family. And I appreciate the fact that I have those people in my life, because without them, I don't think I'd be here. And I know for me that my second sponsor was instrumental in keeping me in the program for a long time, because part of the stuff that I've done in service got real interesting. Like I said, I was involved in area service, I was involved in regional service, I was involved in world service. One of the positions I held was I was involved with the World Convention in Orlando. At just about nine years clean. I was the treasurer for the World Convention and spent a couple of years working on multiple world conventions to do that, because that's how it worked. And 4 months before the convention happened, 5 months, maybe six, I was asked to step down. They said that I needed to step down because I didn't live in the state of Florida. And it's like, I didn't want to step down. I wanted to finish my commitment and do what I want. I mean, and do that. I had spent a couple of years working on it. And I wound up stepping down because I didn't want to be thrown out. But it really changed how I felt about Narcotics Anonymous and service at that level. And I know that for me, the most important thing I can do in service is to show up at a meeting today and to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. Because this is where we carry the message. We don't carry the message at an area level. We don't carry the message at a regional level. We don't carry the message at a world level. Where we carry the message is here in these meetings. We share our experience, strength, and hope that any addict can get clean, that any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. And this is where I hear the message. And this is what became important to me. After resigning from that position, and I talked to my sponsor about it, he gave me a piece of advice or some thoughts. And what he said was that Narcotics Anonymous isn't here to teach you how to live life within the program. It's here to teach you how to live life outside of the program, outside of service, becoming a productive and responsible member of society. Because I was wrapped up, Narcotics Anonymous was my life at that point. There was really nothing outside of it. And what has happened since is that I found some balance at times. I know today that without Narcotics Anonymous, I don't have a life. But without, I mean, I have to have a life outside of Narcotics Anonymous, and I do. I function in society. I've learned how to do that. And the program taught me that. I am a responsible, productive member of society. The longer I stay here, the more responsible I get. And I never thought I'd stay clean as long as I've stayed clean. Have I done everything right in this program? Absolutely not. I don't know anybody who has. I know that at 3 years clean, I heard a speaker share about coming back to meetings, that he had stopped going to meetings and he had done this and he had done that, and he wound up with a noose around his neck. But he didn't, I mean, he didn't die, and he was back at meetings, and he was doing what was necessary to be done. And I looked at somebody at that convention as I'm listening to this guy and said, I'll never do that. And guess what? Never say never, because I did do that. There was a time in my recovery that I stopped going to meetings. And there was a time in my recovery that I thought, well, I've gone to meetings for X amount of years, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing that, and I go to meetings on a regular basis. I can kick back and live life and not worry about my recovery as much as I worry about other things. And what happened was life got real insane real quick. And I thought I could do lots of things like I did at the end of my addiction. I thought I controlled my own universe. I thought I could keep people clean. I thought I could do all kinds of things. I wound up in some interesting predicaments. I wound up doing some crazy ass stuff. But I did make it back to meetings. And I didn't use. I'm not sure why I didn't use, but I didn't use. And the reality of it is I look at, there has been a power in my life for the entire time I've been on this earth that has kept me whatever. And I don't think they intercede, but I didn't do it. I know that there's something greater than me. I found that I realized that early in my recovery while I was still in treatment. I look back in 2020 hindsight and still see that today. Let me talk about this because I'm going to jump around. It's hard to do an entire life of 40 years of recovery in 45 minutes. Even a, you can't talk about everything. But what happened was about 8 years ago, a little over 8 years ago, I wound up coming, I wound up coming back to meetings because I wasn't going to meetings. I was living with somebody in the program. We were, she had moved back into my house. This was the second time I lived with her. She's a sister from another mother. We've known each other for 38 years. I mean, I met her, 38 years ago, early in my recovery. And she's family. One day, her and somebody else said, why don't you come to a noon meeting? Why don't you come to the meeting with us? And I had said no 1,000 times before. And that day I said yes. And I went to the meeting. And I went to another meeting, and I went to another meeting, and I went to another meeting. That was a Thursday. And this was a, in hindsight, this was a spiritual experience that I'll never forget. And it's part of the reason that I'm still here today, because I did, I went to meetings like I had never stopped. And I hadn't gone to a meeting in years. And I went, and I went to the noon, and I went to an 8, and I went to a 10. And that was a Thursday. And the following Tuesday, I get a phone call from my dad. And it was really strange. And I finally asked him, what the hell's going on? Because they were getting, my parents were getting ready to take a trip in their motorhome, and they were going to be gone for 12 weeks. They were leaving on Saturday. And he finally told me, he said, your mom's dead. He had walked into their house, and she was dead on the floor with a load of laundry in her arms. And I was like, life shifted right there. And I made a quick trip, 10 miles, to my dad's house and helped him. And at that point, the family's life shifted. My mom was the glue. And the reality of it is I didn't think about using once when all this was going on. I thought about helping my dad, taking care of what I could help him with, and going to a meeting. And that's what I did, and I went to meetings. And I haven't missed a meeting since. And I went to meetings every day, sometimes twice a day. We got things together. I mean, as far as what was happening with my dad, I thought I might have to live with my dad. Wasn't real interested in doing that. But we needed to do something had to happen. And I went looking for, in that time, I went looking for how many meetings were up in St. Johnsbury, which was the last place I used. And I found a meeting, I found the meeting list online, and I found they had one meeting a week, and it said, if you can't make it to a meeting, call this number. And I called the number, and it was a number to the phone meetings in the United States. And I went to the phone meetings for a while. And then I went and started looking around the internet. See, what I do for a living is I work on computers. I had never thought about online meetings until that point. Or if there were online meetings, never even crossed my mind. I mean, it was like, okay. So I went looking, and I found this website, and it said higna.org.uk. And there was one meeting, and I checked the website out, and the meeting was on a Saturday. Or it was a Saturday. And I went to that meeting. And I met a couple of people that are here today. And there was five or six people in the room, and it was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And I came back to another meeting, and one of them told me about meetings in Australia, and I checked out Australia. And it was like, they had a couple of meetings, and it was like, this took me back to my first decade in recovery. Because like I said, I was involved in service. I was involved at a world level. I was an RSR. I was part of the world, the WSC. And I was hanging out with people from all over the globe, even though the fellowship was small. And when I found online meetings, it was like, I'm home again. Here we are. I mean, there are people from all over the globe, and we were rocking and rolling, talking about recovery, and we're talking about the same kind of things. And it's like, okay, this is pretty cool. And we got more meetings going here, and I liked it. I liked the convenience. I liked being able to go to meetings. And lots of things happened. And over the course of time, I stopped going to face-to-face meetings because I was getting what I needed here at Higna. I was getting what I needed at NA at home. There were some other places to go. I was meeting people. We were hanging out. Recovery was solid. And it amazement. And the people that were here, I got to know better. And that I was sitting in a meeting, and this was pretty interesting. I was sitting in a meeting at my desk, and my roommate was sitting at the dining room table doing homework, and she's listening to the meeting because I've got it on speaker because I didn't have headsets yet, and I was doing open mic, and she was just listening. And it's one of the Higna meetings. It's one of the daytime meetings, and she heard a voice. She says to me, "I know that person. His name is Steve." And it was like she had met Steve a couple of years before I found these meetings, or 18 months before I found these meetings. At a service symposium in Florida. That shows me how small the fellowship is. And the fellowship has gotten smaller and smaller with everything that's happened. I mean, meetings have grown. I do certain things for my recovery, and I hope I never change them today. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I get up in the morning and I'm in a meeting. I ask my higher power for a couple of things to help me in my recovery. I work the first step on a daily basis. I ask my higher power to keep me out of my disease when I get up in the morning. I also ask my higher power to allow me to be the best human being that I can be on a daily basis every day. Then I go to a meeting. And you know what? That works for me. Am I perfect today? By no stretch of the imagination, I can be the biggest asshole going some days. My disease still comes out the side of my neck sometimes, probably more often than I want it to. But you know what? It's not perfection, it's progress. And for the most part, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin because I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Do I have friction with people in the program? Yeah. If you don't have friction with people in the program, something's wrong. I mean, I don't get along with everybody. I never will. But I know certain things happen in this program, that when we're sitting in a meeting, we're all here for the same reason, to share our experience, strength, and hope, and to stay clean. Because this is the only thing that I can do that allows me to live in my own skin. I've tried other things. I've tried it other ways. I've tried not listening to the literature that has been written. I apply the steps to my life. I go to meetings daily. I am still involved in service. I'll never not be involved in service, I hope. I'm doing what I need to do. I know that life is good, and I can say that because I'm sitting someplace I never thought I'd sit, in a meeting that I've been going to for over 8 years. And I come to where I am all the time. My dad moved to Costa Rica. I can take my meetings here. The pandemic struck, and we have lots more meetings. I've been doing things all day to help my dad. I've been doing things all day with the fellowship. And you know what? It all mixes. Life is good. If I can do it, anybody can do it, because I was a hope to die dope fiend before I got here. And today, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams, in places I never thought I would be, with people I never thought I'd be doing it with, and having relationships that I never thought would happen. I never thought my relationship with my dad would be as good as it is today. We talk every day on the phone. We didn't do that before my mom died. You don't know what's going to happen until it happens. 2020 hindsight is there. I can't tell you what the future is going to bring. I hope I continue doing what I'm doing with the people I'm doing it with. I am a member of this organization as far as NA goes. I'm a member of this area as far as HIGNA goes. I am a member of the fellowship. Life is good. And the fellowship keeps my life good. So once again, I hope I never stop doing what is suggested. And I will leave you with that. Have a great day, a great afternoon, a great evening. Back to you, Steve.